Hello everyone, good morning. Welcome to Christian Professionals Network. My name is Chimapala and this is a platform where we raise, teach Christian professionals in to basically become ethical and excellent, and more importantly to thrive, rise, and take over their respective workplace industry sectors by practically applying Bible-based principles to achieve results. I have the privilege of being the convener of this platform and this community, and it's a pleasure. I am excited to be back on our recording path after a bit of a break, or should I say hiatus. So we started out on another dimension of our journey as a Christian Professionals Network community. We started out praying weekly on our WhatsApp platform, and that was rolled out over the past month plus. And we basically had to, should I say, stabilize that. And it also clashing or interfering with our podcast schedule. So now our podcast would likely no longer be put out on Wednesdays, but either Thursdays or Fridays, like it's happening today. Because for now, we pray on Wednesdays. However, it's good to be back. I have missed having these conversations with us and putting out these messages. And there's so much to talk about. And more importantly, I'm grateful for the feedback, messages, encouragement that I've received from various community members checking in. Podcast, when is the podcast coming? What's going on with the podcast? Thank you for checking in. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for being consistent and showing up on this platform. You make the work easy. You make it something worth looking forward to. And most importantly, God uses you to keep us going. And it's also quite heartwarming to know that, these messages that we're putting out there is actually blessing people. So thank you to everyone that reached out and kept reaching out over the past month plus that there was no podcast. But by God's grace, we will start out again, kicking off with this one. And this is a very interesting story, which I am going to, as much as possible, try to juxtapose with the reality of our work life. So, there was a time, once upon a time ago, sounds like I'm about to tell stories, right? Once upon a time ago, there were some kind of industries, or there was a particular kind of workplace that I felt was unreachable for someone like me. I felt that was a stretch. It was far-reaching. It was for, back then, honestly, I used to think that this kind of sector, this kind of role, this kind of global exposure is for demigods, is for a particular caliber, quality. I have to basically adjust my voice to express the tone that is coming through on my face, on my body language. It's for a particular caliber of people. It's for a particular set of people. It's for a particular niche quality of professionals. How would someone like me even think, let alone consider exploring or being a part of that kind of workplace? I kid you not. Once upon a time ago, and not so long ago, this is less than 10 years ago, I believe. Yeah. Less than 10 years ago, and it took God working in me to will and to do, like the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, according to his good purpose. The truth is, before you experience anything, anything that you consider breakthrough or big deal, whether it's big breakthrough or big deal, breakthrough is you believe it's going to happen to you, just a matter of time. Big deal is, can this possibly happen to someone like me? Anything that you consider breakthrough, big deal, is a product of, is a function of the state of your mind. Because I'm sure you've heard this several times. You have to first receive it in your mind. You have to live it first in your mind before it manifests at your reality. And I say to you with every sense of both humility and gratitude to God that industry back then that seemed like it was far-fetched, unreachable, it was me reaching too high, it was for the demigods and not for, in quote or in parenthesis, our kind of people. I am not just working there now, currently. I am thriving. I am excelling. I am exceptional. I am standing out for good and for great results. Like I said, returning clearly and always the glory to God. But the shift first started in my mind. As in, God spent time. I'm not even joking. You know when you know that the Holy Spirit is just sitting with you and is just working your mind, is conditioning you, giving me promises, and positioning you for global impact. I'm about to blow your mind. I'm telling you literally, these are the promises I received. He was telling me directly, I'll be driving to work back then where I was working, and he'll be telling me these things, filling my mind. I'm like, hey, what kind of big dreams are these? For who? Where am I coming from? How am I going here? Like, let's go into the scriptures. Let me now show you also a simulation of how this happened sometime in the past to the children of Israel. And we'll talk through it and, more importantly, talk about how to come out of it. Initially, I was going to consider talking about bold moves. Okay, yeah, there's probably bold moves. There's bold moves. We're going to talk about Jeremiah 1. So I'm thinking, as God leads us, we'll probably now, the second part of these bold moves will be next week, in our podcast next week, when we read the book of Jeremiah, hopefully. I was actually torn this morning between sharing from the story of Jeremiah or from this story, but I think this is a good foundation to establish this conversation, and hopefully we then build off it next week. So I'm going to start with, now I'm reading from Numbers chapter 13. Excuse me. Numbers 13, that's the story. When from verse 1, I'm just going to pick bits and pieces of verses to land on where we're going. Excuse me. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So basically send a representative. Oh, this is the kind of industries, kind of sector. This is what you're looking to achieve. This is where you believe that God is taking you. Go and spy the land. And that's always a rule. When God is giving you promises, he wants you to both to spy the land. So mentally, you are already there before it now becomes your reality physically, mentally and spiritually, really. So Moses now sends them. He picked people, all the plenty people. I'll just go straight to verse 19. It says, what kind of land do they live in? So all the questions. So this industry, this sector, this organization I'm looking to go to. I'm here to do too when it comes to my land. Whenever I'm changing jobs or I'm contemplating working in a particular organization, I ask a lot of questions. Spyland is standard, so you must learn it. Don't just wake up and show up in a new organization and you have no clue what is going on there because you got an offer letter that is significantly higher in remuneration than what you had before. That is not how it works. It doesn't even show... what's the word? It doesn't even show diligence. Yes, that's the word actually. Doesn't show you're lazy about your approach to where you're going to be investing your time. It does not show diligence on your part. When an organization is wooing you, just even conversation, they are basically trying to check you out. You're checking them out. That's when you start your research. Who are those that work there? What's the team? What's the team like? What am I going to be reporting to? Who are those reporting to me? What are the challenges? Ask somebody that knows someone. That's why also network and connections are very important. Someone that knows someone that knows someone that works there that will tell you the things that are not written on the website. The things that you will never find out until someone in the system tells you. Spying the land is standard. Like God had promised the children of Israel, you are going to Canaan, you are going to this global industry. Like back then God told me, I'm positioned for global impact. I'm going to blow your mind. I have to start reaching out intentionally. I'm already telling you the steps, so I'm hoping that you're taking the learnings from it. Intentionally, to people that were already there, it seemed far-reaching for me back then, but I started connecting intentionally. I was building strategic relationships, of course, not trying to show clear ulterior motives or to constitute a nuisance, but I was genuinely interested both in the people and what they do because I wanted to understand back then, how does this industry work? How does this sector work? How does this global approach and outlook work? How does it differ from working in a regional role, from working in a locally based role, because there are different approach to all, to different levels of exposure when it comes to work. If you're working in a regional role or in a fully locally based role or in a global, totally different approach, perspective, expectations in terms of culture, diversity. So it's something that if you are a diligent person, which you should be as a Christian professional, you must. Where is that place that you are aspiring, that's aspirational for you now, or that you literally want to move or break into? What's that industry, sector, or skill set that you're looking to break into in the next number of months? Maybe it's even short term or mid term, in the next 18 months, in the next 2 years, you want to basically become a player in that particular sector or specific organization. What are you doing? How deeply are you spying the land? So, it says, what kind they live in? What kind of land? See all the questions Moses was asking him. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of town do they live in? Look at the detail, specific details. Are they unwalled or are they fortified? Because it is trying to understand, when I get into this organization or this sector, let me know what the gaps are so I can identify my quick wins. You get in there, you're asking all these questions before you get in, because that way you identify your quick wins, especially if you're now maybe moving into a leadership position, you're already at a leadership position. It's even more critical for you, because you must, when you get into an organization, identify low-hanging fruits, and you must basically deliver quick wins at least within the first 3 months, maximum 6 months of being there. So when you're spying the land, like I'll target for the purpose of this conversation, you are identifying gaps that will turn to quick wins for you. So they start asking you, is it fertile? How is the soil? Is it fertile? But what's the culture? Is it toxic? Or is it the lazy people in the system that are calling it toxic? Some people, everywhere they work is toxic, because laziness has refused to leave them alone. Laziness has held on to their spirit, soul, and body. So every boss is toxic. Everywhere is toxic. What kind of team members do I have? Are there the diligent ones? Are there the dead weights that are leaning up? Like, this was a meticulous inquiry into the organization they were looking to break into. And because, you know, when you're asking these questions, is with the intentions of taking over. So it depends on your intention. If you're just going there, let them just pay you good salary, pay you great benefits, give you great benefits, and you're okay being a fly on the wall. That's like the most annoying paraphrase that I probably have, because it sounds so timid, timid. Let's just leave it at timid. Let me not start looking for English words this morning. But look at how much meticulous detail that Moses requested that they basically go and get about the industry, the workplace, the role. You can have only a role within your organization, the department, the function that they're looking to move into. You didn't just collect a letter and wake up and say, God has prompted us, let's be going. Just show up and realize that you show up unprepared, and then you're now looking like you have already created the horrible first thing, because it's not everything, the workplace, not everything that everybody will tell you. And when you show up, I don't know who this is for. It could be that you're moving within the same organization, or you're moving to another organization, or you're changing industry, sector, or skill sets. People are always silently both assessing or judging once you move into a place as a newbie, at whatever level, whether it's as leadership level, middle management, or in entry level, or junior management level, any level. Once you come in and you're a newbie and everybody smells rookie, whether it's within the same system, you just move to a different function or team, or within another system or organization, or you're getting a new skill set, everybody smells rookie. And there's always that silent assessment or judgment of whether he or she deserves to be there. And then you must be intentional in terms of spying the land, so you don't go and step in with the wrong foot and you start goofing before you even start. And then when you're getting reactions based on your inadequate preparation or your lack of diligence, you will now start screaming toxic, because that seems to now be a getaway word. I'm not saying that they're not toxic organizations. No, no, no. I'm not saying they're not toxic bosses. No, no, no. But it's a case of, like I always say, one of my favorite scriptures. After having done all that crisis demands, after having done all to stand, before you tick a place toxic in terms of your ratings, you had best done after all that crisis demands, after having done all to stand. Bible says stand. That's the scripture. After having done all to stand, stand. So after having done all that crisis demands. We've not even scratched the surface of where I'm going with this thing. This seems like it's going to be a multi-phased podcast. So I think we'll just start with this one. It seems like this bold move is going to have quite a bit because we've not even gotten to where I'm going. And we're already 15 minutes in, and I try to keep this podcast within or under 20 minutes because we also respect our listeners and their time. So it says, is it fertile? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Because if there are no trees, we have to go in there and plant trees. We need photosynthesis because we need oxygen. We need to breathe. These people, over how many million people live in Egypt? You're going into a land. If there are no trees, how would the atmosphere be? Is it going to be healthy for us in terms of the quantity of people, the number of people, the multitude that is moving from this Egypt to this Canaan land? What's the land size? Can it take everybody, or do we need to cut bushes and expand? That is due diligence. Due diligence. Hear all the questions. Guess what? It's God that gave Moses the idea to go and do this thing. So, in case you're wondering, it's a thing that people in the secular world, are you joking? Due diligence originated from God. You have seen it here. Any road, tax, project, anything new, whatever passes off as new that you are taking on, or additional responsibility, anything, please do your due diligence. That's what we're really calling spying the land. Back then, they called it spying the land. But dude, it's so important. It helps you prepare, and it also shows preparedness on your part. You can't just resume a new role or resume a new team and you're hearing about the problems there for the first time. Of course. So I just put a caveat. There is no way, no absolute way that you will totally understand have access to everything that is both a problem or a benefit or an advantage or a privilege in that something new. Because it could be anything new. And that's something new. There's no way, especially from an external perspective, when you're not yet in the system, there's a limited access to how much you would be able to get in terms of information and all that. That is totally understood. There are still some challenges, some bumps, and some benefits. Because we always talk about challenges and bumps. There are also benefits that you discover when you're now finally in that system, in that role, on that job, in that industry, as you go. Let's take that is settled, that is basically confirmed. However, you must do your due diligence before you basically get into it as much as is possible. It shows your level of preparedness. And the higher you are and go in leadership, the more important this is. You're not showing up and you've not even heard of your team members before, people you're going to be leading. You've never had lunch with some of them before time. You've not identified your key stakeholders, your key allies, your potential, what's the word now? Challenges in terms of human beings that you will need to basically start engaging ahead of time to make your job easy. Like, you show up and you all see yourselves for the first time. Really? Imagine Moses carrying that, how many million people from the wilderness, and they just show up in Canaan like, this place is water. We have to sand fuel. Where are we going to sleep this night? If it's yourself, how are you judging? Just think of it for 1 minute. Say, the land God told us, he thought it's flowing with milk and honey, but it's like the milk and honey is coming from under this water. So that means we have to first sand fuel. So you had no idea that you should have been sand fuel. Sent like half of the multitude ahead, the strong young men, to go and sand fuel while you are now grooming and working with the women and children. So by the time women and children get there, the place is sand filled and prepared. Would that not make Moses a more reasonable leader as opposed to just show up? They are giants, so we should have sent men ahead to deal with these giants or clear this land before we bring our women and children here. So you must do your due diligence. And it's not only when you're changing organization or changing roles. If you're even moving within the same system, whenever you're moving to something new, whatever that signifies, it shows a level of preparedness to do thorough due diligence as much as is possible before you take it on. And guess what? While you're also doing that due diligence, God also now uses it to equip you to know, okay, maybe this is not the right time to make this move. I need to spend some more time equipping myself, considering the findings that have basically resulted from my due diligence on this thing. I need to equip myself some more. Or, okay, I need to do more work. I need to basically put in more work in equipping myself ahead of the time that I'm going to move into something new. Maybe I was planning to put, I'm just estimating, this is just, I'm giving random examples, but it's going to be, customize it as it applies to you. Maybe I thought I needed to just spend 2 or 3 hours preparing ahead of time, but with the findings and discoveries that I have made, it appears I need to put in at least 6 hours to ensure that I show up ready. Or it might even say it's possible that I'm not ready for this yet. I need to spend another 6 months, 1 year, 18 months before breaking or moving into this something new, whatever that signifies for you. So, and he will even ask, are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land, because it was the season for the first ripe grapes. Let's even see when we get there, what we're going to eat. What's the remuneration like? I've heard this. What's the actual figures? How does it work? Oh, they're paying this bonus. What does that mean for monthly remuneration? Are they robbing Peter to pay Paul? Are they giving you whoever it is, large numbers and bonus, and then you're taking peanuts home? Are they paying peanuts and working with monkeys? And then are you the first human that will be paid a human salary? Because like they say, if you're paying peanuts, then you would only work with monkeys. So are there more, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but basically, are there a lot of underqualified people because of how poorly paid they are, or how irrational the pay system is? Is not just a floating pay system, but is an imbalanced pay system. Some people are highly paid. You have few people that are very highly paid, and then most people are underpaid, because what will now happen is those few people that are highly paid and highly skilled will suffer and have to bear the weight and have to deal with the most people that are underpaid. I've been in a system like that before in the past. They took their time to bring it when they realized that they had a lot of underpaid. And as a result of being underpaid, when you have underpaid people, they also be underqualified, because they're not going to put in the work. They are not paying them well and all that. So it's a case of garbage in, garbage out. So they had a high ratio, significant, much higher ratio of underpaid and as a result, underqualified people. And they thought back then that to buffer it, instead of upgrading the people within the system, they started bringing in a few of us, almost like experts that were well paid. I would not even say highly paid, well paid enough and highly skilled. And then you get into the system and you had to work with, lead teams, collaborate with people that are underqualified and underpaid, who already are holding grudges because the HR system then too was very porous, and we're releasing information on what this set of highly paid, highly skilled people were earning. And it was already creating toxicity, intentional sabotage, and you now want the highly paid people to deliver in that kind of environment. The environment is not enabling enough for people to thrive, no matter how highly skilled or highly paid you are, if the multitude are mostly underpaid and underqualified. Those kind of systems are usually set up. And I'm saying it out there for anyone that's a leader and all that. If you're going to a system, you're not just making an inquiry about your own pay. What's the average base pay? How well paid are people in the system? Because that also speaks to the quality of talent and competency that you're going to have to deal with. If you have people that are grossly underpaid, people that are good and highly skilled will always move towards places where their value is rightfully and adequately compensated. So if you see a system that is predominantly underpaid, grossly underpaid people, then they are highly likely grossly underqualified. And those are the team of people that you are required to deliver above and beyond with, which already has set you up before you started. So those are the kind of things that you look at, the detail that Moses laid out. You must be meticulous in your due diligence, because you also have to be sure that you're not setting yourself up to fail. It's not everything that is new that is good. Some of them are traps. Like I said, not necessarily always just change of job, can be within the system. And doing your due diligence, of course, as you also let the Holy Spirit lead you, would help you on that. So while you're making your bold moves, making plans to make some real bold moves this year, please take these things into consideration. due diligence did not start in our times. It started way back in the Bible times for this specific reference, the Book of Numbers. We're still going to go further or delve deeper into this because I didn't even land where I was hoping to land today. I've not even touched that. So that means that hopefully it seems like we're going to be having a multi-part series. So I'll see you again next week. God bless you. We're already 5 minutes over the estimated time for this podcast. But hey, I guess it's a make-up for the 1 month plus that we've been away. And like I said, excited to be back. Thank you for always listening. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your messages. And I'll see you again next week. Go and do your due diligence. God bless you. Bye.